The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. I say 12 o'clock here. That's the UK, of course. I'm joined by another John. John Mayer, who's, of course, partner of SP Angel and all thing resources. John, how are you, fella? Where are you? Because in the UK, it's freezing.
It's quite warm here. I'm in Argentina, just south of Buenos Aires.
And what do you do with your arm there?
I fell off a horse, so I'm repairing slowly.
I thought that was a fashion accessory you had on there, John. There was something going, you know, happening in Argentina there. So hang on, you fell off a horse. Now, I did say on the email when you told me, I said, leave that to jockeys and cowboys. What are you doing on a horse?
I was trying to learn a bit about the sport of polo. So didn't go so well, to be honest.
No, all right. Well, listen, if you got any questions for John, by all means, any kind of resources, anything on commodities, anything at all, let us know, but we'll cover a bit of news. First of all, let's look at the markets. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on the markets, John, but this is the market today. FTSE 100 down, a third of 1%, pretty much. FTSE 250, pretty much the same. Same with the AIM All Shares, all down a little bit. Some of the rises in the FTSE 100, Melrose, Legal & General, Rolls-Royce, Smith & Nephew, Ballers, JD Sports, of course, they warned last week. Profits warning. It was a tale of two retailers last week. Next came out with a barnstormer, and JD blamed the weather and a sort of weakening spending, basically. Anglo-American down, Glencore down, Shell down. Of course, then announced impairments. They're selling their, I think it's a Singaporean refining sort of hub there. And they say they may lose in impairments, 2.5 to 4.5 billion. But there's a lot of resource companies there, Johnny. But what's happening? Have you been keeping an eye on the prices, commodities at the moment, Johnny? Anything moving? I know oil is down. That's commodities. But anything moving at all?
Uranium prices going up. They had a strong couple of weeks, over $90 a pound, and the long-term price is $68 a pound. We're told. So that's looking good. There's a US ETF that appears to be shoveling another $1 billion into the uranium market and into buying physical uranium. So that's all very exciting. But other prices, lithium, gold, they're coming off because the US job numbers were very strong on Friday. That means the US Fed is more than likely to pull back on cutting interest rates. That means the Bank of England's probably going to hold back on cutting interest rates because looks like they're just trying to maintain the strength of the pound. So that means markets and commodities in general are just coming off for a short while.
Do you know what is interesting, actually? I did say today the theme of this webinar today is what exposure do you have to clean energy? Because that's the thing. It's an interesting story out today. I don't know if you saw this from BT. I don't know if this is going to work. BT's to turn street cabinets into EV charging points. So there's cabinets you see everywhere where there's lots of cables in there. Apparently, it could lead to a network of 60,000 new points. Now, recently, I don't know if you noticed, the government's sort of all, you know, they've missed a target. They wanted a certain amount of EV chargers, and I think especially in what they call in service stations, they wanted every sort of service station to have a ultra fast charger, but they haven't done it. But they're saying there's about 53,000 now, 906 EV charging points across the UK at the end of December, according to figures. This is from ZapMap, actually. BT, according to ZapMap, I own Good Energy, and Good Energy owns ZapMap. But, I mean, the government wants to increase the number to 300,000 chargers by 2030. I don't know how that's going to work. How can you pull up next to one of these boxes that BT own and plug in? You can't. I walked the dog this morning. I walked past about three of them, so there's lots of them around. But they're not accessible. What do you do, pull a cable out? How does that work?
Well, I'm guessing they're already powered up with at least enough charge for a 3.3-pin plug. So that sounds like a great idea. I mean, BT getting into car charging, fantastic.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. You haven't got have you got an electric vehicle, John?
Not yet.
Okay. What's stopping you?
I'm looking at buying an old car and then converting it to electric. So that's my plan.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't go with a horse, John, it's fine. Because you don't have it.
So, right, so that's not going so well.
Yeah, so John, what would you say you know, because there's many ways to gain exposure, you know, to the clean energy. And what you said, you know, copper, which is, you know, old standard pretty much of the economy, you know, barometer. But that's, you know, if you've got exposure to copper, you pretty much have got exposure, haven't you, to, you know, the clean energy, really.
You're completely correct. Copper is the go-to metal for the electric vehicle revolution. Not only do the cars use a lot more copper, but of course the cabling to charge all these electric vehicles will use a lot more copper. And there's simply no substitution for that. Yes, there'll be a little bit of thrifting here and there, but the fact is your average EV uses twice as much copper as your average normal car. And when you talk about global production of something over 50 million vehicles a year, that's a lot of copper cabling that will need to go in, and a lot of cars that will have to be charged up, normally overnight, of course, in our cities and in the countryside. So, yeah, there's so much of this. I mean, in fact, the cabling just for the wind farms and the solar farms that are also being put in is enormous. So, yes, that's the go-to metal. Problem are, there's just not enough copper mining companies to shovel your money into.
Yeah. So, there's a few on the junior market, but if someone wanted to get exposure to copper, you know, what kind of companies would you suggest look at? I mean, but before we get into it, I have a think, John, because a couple of comments here. AI investors say, "Hi, everyone. I have a 5% portfolio exposure to Greencoat, and they operate a number of UK wind farms." Kev says, "Please mention UK hydrogen companies. Would love to learn more." Hannah says, "ITM Power. But they've been a disaster." Yeah. Well, the thing is, when it was easy to raise money in the bull market, ITM Power, heck of a rally. You know, wasn't it like something like valued at $3 billion or something nuts on no revenue, pretty much. And you can see the chart there. Literally, it went from nothing or 15 pence up to £7. And then it came off like a stone, you know, the top of the bull market there, come back down. Hydrogen, I do like AFC in the hydrogen space. They seem to be doing a lot with Speedy Hire and all that stuff, but green hydrogen. But they're quite highly valued as companies. Let's look. The equity was strangely unaffected by US strong jobs report. I think there's too much underlying strength from buying oversold stocks. There is a bit of that, John, isn't it? The market seems to be turning. You know, I'm seeing now smaller micro nano caps. They're not falling as they were. Some of them are rallying, you know, some of them just bouncing on the bottom. But the fall seems to have happened, do you think?
Well, we were in quite a severe bear market in small cap mining stocks, certainly in the last 6 months. So, yes, I think this, as new money comes back into the market, we should see just some recovery just from more money coming in. You know, when you see a bear market like this, good stocks fall even more than the bad stocks, frankly. And that's just because the liquidity is there for people to sell into. As that turns, these stocks, particularly the better ones, will lift. And if you're talking about copper stocks, on the smaller side, Atalaya is a good company. And if you want a rock solid, large cap copper company, Antofagasta is the go-to company there.
Yeah, Atalaya. So where are they based?
They operate in the old Rio Tinto copper mine in Spain, run by a very good Spanish mining engineer, good quality engineer, and a solid business there. So they are the people we look to.
Yeah. Okay. Marvelous stuff. Some news out there. So, just a quick look in front of Vox Markets here. I'll share the screen here, but there's a bit of news about CMO Group, the online building materials retailer, has issued a full year update for period reflecting economic headwinds affecting the construction industry. Well, we know that, but the house builders especially have rallied already. It's almost the markets will try and see ahead as far as they can. Paul Sotomayor-Verici here, clinical laboratory, achieves cap accreditation. Argo Blockchain, of course, a miner of a different kind. They mine Bitcoin. Do you have any exposure to crypto, John?
Personally, no. I prefer to stick to hard, real assets.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how Bitcoin has rallied very strongly, right? I think largely, three reasons maybe. I think you've got, obviously, the US dollar weakening. That's one of the things. That's the reason why. So gold, isn't it, rallied. But also, they got, again, you mentioned uranium. In fact, uranium stocks. I know a lot of people have been in uranium stocks, done very well of late. And I know people say once uranium starts to move, it really starts to move. And it has been of late. But you talk about an ETF on uranium. There's also talk about an ETF on Bitcoin. That's helped pushing it up along with the weak dollar. Plus, you've got the halving coming up where it becomes twice as difficult for people to mine. But anyway, one of the big sort of, you know, players
Justin,
in this space.
I hear the Chinese have been using Bitcoin to as a mechanism for getting cash out of China.
Really? Oh, okay. And there's plenty of them there, isn't it? So, yeah, maybe.
And I think that's helped lift the price.
Yeah, so maybe that. I do think it's had a cracking rally. I mean, it's like over 100% in the last 12 months, I think. But Argo, but uranium stock, John, do you know of any of those? Because I know there are like there's Yellow Cake and. I mean, John, who comes on the podcast twice a week, he was talking about Yellow Cake. And the chart on that, look at the chart on that. We're talking about from where 2021, literally it was, you know, 193 pence. Now it's 629, which is phenomenal. There's Geiger counter as well, isn't there? Which is, but do you know of any sort of uranium stocks, John, worth maybe doing some research on?
Yes, there is something energy. Gosh, help me with this one.
Is it Aura Energy?
Aura Energy, that's it, yes.
Yeah.
And they've got a big uranium project in Mauritania and in West Africa. They also have a very big polymetallic project in Sweden, which also has uranium in it. It's a vanadium uranium deposit. So it has a number of income streams. And that's actually very interesting. This might be quite a good year for Aura.
Yeah, Aura. Okay, cool. So scrolling down, Aterian announces Botswana corporate joint broker appointment. So what's it? So this is Aterian. What was it? It's a small market cap. 9.8 million market cap there, but license acquisition. They've talked about here. So they acquire a 90% interest in Atlantis Metals, which holds 4 prospecting licenses in Botswana, and. Have you seen that news today, John? I know you're out there in Argentina riding horses and stuff, but go on.
I've been keeping up with the news. Aterian, they're buying into, they're going to do a lot more copper exploration in Botswana. We think this is a good place. They're looking for sedimentary copper just south of a couple of other significant copper mines in the area, actually. And they're also picking up some lithium licenses. Now, these are lithium brines underneath the Makadikadi salt pans, which is a very beautiful place if you ever get the chance to go out to Botswana. And we've spent a lot of time in Botswana over the years looking at nickel, copper, not lithium yet, but various assets. The government is incredibly helpful towards mining companies. Botswana is going to have some difficulty because diamond prices have fallen. A lot of the government revenue comes from the diamond mining industry, although there is a big take or pay contract with De Beers, so that will soften the blow to the Botswanan government for now. But ultimately, the problems with lab-grown diamonds substituting natural diamonds is going to cause some issues for them. So they, I think, will be even keener to see new miners come in, develop new copper mines, new lithium projects going forwards.
Yeah. Well, lithium is, do you know what, at the moment, isn't it? I mean, you know, I've talked to Neil Herbert quite a lot on the podcast from Atlantic Lithium, and they seem to be doing all the right things. But because lithium price is softening, it's not being reflected in their share price, you know? And so what's your thoughts on lithium, John? I mean, there's a sort of consensus that deficit starts 2025, I think. But, I mean, fundamentally, the demand is going to go up massively, isn't it? Supply can't meet it.
There is an awful lot new demand coming into the lithium market. Electric vehicle production is still very high. There's a lot of talk about electric vehicle demand softening, but I'm not sure that's going to be reality. I think the Chinese, who are producing a huge number of electric vehicles, are getting better at selling those vehicles all over the world, not just to us in the West and in the US, but particularly I think they're good at selling electric vehicles into the rest of Asia, into Indonesia, into the many cities like Jakarta, for example, that are enormously polluted. The Indians have really taken off in terms of electric vehicle production. A lot of that is at the smaller end of the scale, electric bikes, electric trikes. I'm sure there'll be a lot of electric tuk-tuks running around the streets of India shortly, because they have enormous pollution issues as well. It's not just us in London. This is a global issue, and this is what's going to drive ongoing electric vehicle take up. And lithium, of course, is the key metal for that.
Yeah. Well, you're in South America there. There's another company today, Clean Tech Lithium. I've been doing these a couple of times as well. Aldo Botano, who's an Italian in Chile, looking at direct lithium extract. And they've new resource drilling at Laguna Verde with one of their projects. They've got three there. And they seem a lot of, big resource there. But they're saying they're going to plan to convert existing measured indicated resources of 1.1 million tons of lithium carbonate extract into reserves. And that drilling is starting there. But have you any experience with direct lithium extraction, John? How that works? Oh, John's been run over by a horse, I think. There we are.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time looking at this, and Rio Tinto, which is a joint venture partner with Aterium, have bought a business in Argentina called Rincon. I think it was $860 million. So Rio's are working hard on that. And Rio's, as I say, they're a partner with Aterium. Maybe they'll also partner with Aterium's brine projects in Botswana. But we'll have to wait to see there. But for now, the production is coming out of hard rock spodumene, and that's where our money is. And we're looking to IPO companies in this in the hard rock spodumene space going forwards. So we see that the brine projects still struggle in terms of economic extraction, and that's a big issue. If you're able to operate large evaporation ponds, if you're in a very dry part of the world like the Atacama, the desert in Botswana, you should be able to run evaporation ponds in order to upgrade the grade of your lithium, and then produce lithium straight directly off that. And that's what happens up in Chile with SQM and Albemarle, the big companies up there. So, but it's only in very specific places where you can do it, where there's enough evaporation to upgrade your lithium, and where the brine quality is good enough to do that.
Yeah. So yourself there, John, if you talk about road resource companies, what exposure do you have to then the clean, energy transition? What are the companies you like?
So my personal exposure, quite a lot of this is in private companies, but CAA Mining, which is something we act for, and we're looking to IPO. That's lithium in Ghana. That's next to Atlantic Lithium. So we're big believers in that. We work with Atlantic Lithium, so we know quite a lot about what's going on there, and I think we have enormous confidence in how well that's going to do. I'm in Blue Jay Mining still, unfortunately not done so well, but we're still hopeful for the exploration there. And Rod McGilray has gone in, so we act for Blue Jay Mining, and Rod McGilray's gone back in to sort out the problems that have developed in that company. So there is much to do at the moment.
Yeah. What's it like at the moment, John? It's been very hard, right, for companies raising money, the last 2 years, almost impossible in some cases. And you've seen, on a weekly basis, I'm seeing companies delist now from AIM on a weekly basis, maybe even two or three. But is it getting easier to raise equity for companies out there or not?
Well, it feels as if AIM's had an agenda of reducing the size of the market for some years. And yes, it has been challenging for the miners to raise money over the last 6 months, maybe even over the last year. But markets come and go. I mean, it has been a bear market in the resources space. And that's been for lots of, fairly sensible economic reasons. Commodity prices haven't done so badly, but they've not shot the lights out either. We've had huge problems with industrial growth in Europe. It's good to see this morning that the German export numbers are picking up. It's very good to see the US growing the way it is. And in fact, we were looking at the PMI, Purchasing Managers Index numbers on Friday, indicating industrial growth. And good industrial growth still going on in the US, and actually not doing too badly in China. I mean, Europe course, having problems because of the Ukrainian war and because of energy prices. But it does look like that's starting to resolve itself and things are starting to get a bit better.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at some comments here. Well, someone just said, where is John? The weather looks too good for the UK. You're right there. See, John's in Argentina. Yeah. Literally, John, we've had, I don't know how long you've been away, but the week before last, I think it was just thunderstorms or storms, almost flooding everywhere across the south coast of England. And then this week now, it's gone to freezing. They're talking about, snowstorms, snow bombs. So we've gone from one extreme to the other. Let's go. Riffisoft says, Brookfield Renewable Core and SDCL. I'm well down on SDCL. Also got U Group, which is surprising. I'm in it quite a lot. John, what's your thoughts on KEFI? Is that copper and gold? Do you know much about KEFI, John? Have you been into that?
Oh, yeah. So look, KEFI's starting to move in the right direction after a long period of intransigence. One of our guys was actually down in Ethiopia about 3 weeks ago, where they were getting a lot of the local bankers in Addis Ababa together in order to prepare for the full funding of the Tulu Kapi gold mine. So, yes, I think that's about to happen. I'm my fingers are crossed. It's been a long, long time waiting for this, but it looks like there's a lot of money trapped in Ethiopia. The companies like Inchcape and others, they're not allowed to take money out of Ethiopia. So they're looking for a mechanism to utilize that cash in country. And that's all coming together to fund the Tulu Kapi gold mine. That looks good for everybody.
Yeah. Just quickly to cover what some of the most read on Vox here. Let's look on the front page. So let's scroll down. Let's get the front page here. There we go. So clean tech lithium there. Where is it? Here we go. Argo Blockchain, of course, they've raised some money today, 7.8. They've got quite a bit of debt. They did expand at the time when, money was cheap and they took on a lot of debt, and all of a sudden that's come back to hit in the face. Helium One Global, it's been, bad news after bad news for that company, but they do say they're commencing a drilling there. Hemogenics, DG Innovate. I don't know if you've heard of these, John. This is a very interesting company. This is a Welsh company, pretty much, based in Wales. They had a change of management recently, and three ex sort of Tesla, quite senior people from Tesla are now working here, and they've put some money in as well. But they've developed this Peretta e-drive for marine applications, and so the first phase of this project utilized the company's e-drive in marine applications, and this is designed for an integrated fuel cell and powertrain system using the company's technology with no gearbox and all that stuff. So they're the first stage of this, but they're still in a small, they are a nano cap, pretty much 21 million market cap. But look at the share price on this, John. When they're announced, the Times announced that these three senior sort of Tesla guys were moving in here, and it went from literally 0.03 pence, and it was 10 bagged, pretty much. Look at that. It is literally 10 bagged in the last couple of weeks, pretty much. But it's early stage. But when you got sort of three guys, who are quite senior Tesla, go into a small company, you assume they've done a lot of due diligence. And they do say here on that release today, which is very interesting, this is Peter Barnfleth Hansen says, as I noted when I was appointed, the technology the DJI team has developed is exceptional. It's very rare to have that, John, isn't it? So, a nano cap, where you get three ex-senior Tesla guys come on board,
Well, remember Apple Corps started as a small company once upon a time. So, good companies do come from small beginnings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Elon Musk acquired Tesla as a small, struggling electric vehicle producer, although they hadn't actually produced any proper cars at the time. But he bought the concept, he bought the people, and look where we are now.
Yeah. Are you aware of Technology Minerals? They've raised sort of $5 million today, convertible bond facility. It's taken a bit of a drop in this, but they are creating a sustainable circular economy for battery metals, I think recycling that. Are you aware of those?
I've come across the name. I think the recycling guys it's a very interesting space. The big question is, where are they going to get all the material for recycling? So they need to have well set sources of material, because a lot of electric vehicle batteries aren't going to come back as fast as people think. And those batteries also are going to get, they're going to find second life applications, maybe even third life applications. You know, what you might do, Justin, with your electric vehicle is when you finish with the battery, you might stick that on the wall and use it to store power from your solar panels that you're going to put on your roof.
Yeah. Well, I need to get solar panels and an electric vehicle first. That's ideally what you want. In fact, I was chatting to my neighbor yesterday, and he built a new house next door. And he said part of the planning process where they had to have solar panels on the roof. And he said, at the start, he said, he's a bit skeptical. He said, now I'm surprised by how much energy we get from them. He said, literally, in the summer, we were like, you know, getting paid, you know, not a lot, but he wasn't using money. He said 20, 30 quid a month, they were paying, getting a month from it. Whereas before, of course, you'd spend money. She said, I'm quite surprised how much we're getting from it. So I do have the ambition. I would like to have solar panels. I'd like to charge my car via that, you know. So there we are. But, you know, I don't know how sort of...
The people I know who've installed solar are all very pleased with it. It's I know it costs money to put in, but after that, it's free energy.
Well, you installed a new heat pump. It was a ground source, wasn't it?
Yeah, ground source heat pumps. And on the house where I, which is well insulated and with reasonably new radiators, it works brilliantly well. So, you know, a heat pump on its own will not solve all your heating issues. But if the house is well insulated and you have a modern radiator system in there, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, just coming in, final bit of news here. But says it's CMC Markets, not your area, John, but they did a trading update today. It's always nice to see companies sort of, you know, beating expectations. And they did say now that the last year, because they're into pretty much, you know, trading platforms and all that stuff, but they did say the last year activity picked up. This was driven by an improvement in market conditions led by increased contribution from the B2B and institutional business. But they did say as a result of the strong performance, the group now expects to generate full-year net operating income between 290 and 310 million from previously guided 250 to 280. I did look at the chart this a while back. So it's a good-looking chart. I wonder where it's going to go. But as you can see today, the chart, that's the 200-day moving average here, and it had problems breaking up before. But today, it's a nice gap up here, and it's gapped up right under that 200-day moving average. But it's a nice thing. It's been a hard time, like most companies, you know, from 2021, top of the bull market at 560 a share, now down at 135 this afternoon's rally. But, slowly starting to see a couple of companies, you know, beat expectations. Those expectations may have been beaten down, but nevertheless, you know, it shows now they're improving and not going against, you know, not deteriorating, basically. Cool stuff. And finally, a couple of bits of news here. Oh, by the way, some comments. Someone did say we talked about leisure companies last week, and someone did say, why didn't you talk about XPF? I don't know why they didn't get the filter. John Human did that. But XPF is a good, very good company. Also, someone says, regarding retail shares and consumer spending, a big rise in credit card transactions in November, more than expected, and those bills will be coming due this month. So the short-term outlook isn't great. Yeah, you have seen more people using credits recently. But I don't know if you saw this news, John, on oil. Oil is weakening this morning after Saudi cut the price charged to customers. This is low. They've lowered their flagship Arab-like price to Asia by $2 per barrel to $150 a barrel, move above the benchmark. But now they're saying this is the move indicates the concerns a slowing economy will hurt demand for oil, trumping fears that the geopolitical tensions in the Red Sea will cause supply disruption. And we sort of saw this, isn't it? When you had that sort of, you know, issues in the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, and yet oil, and you got trouble in the Middle East, and oil's not rallying. That suggests something's not right, doesn't it? John,
are you there? Normally you're right. I think the very rapid electric vehicle ownership. I think the very rapid rise of electric vehicle ownership means that the people aren't using quite as much oil as they were, and so it's possible we might have reached what's called peak oil in terms of peak oil demand. Many experts tell me that's not the case, that in fact peak oil demand is still likely to be a few years further away. But it is quite possible that all those guys around the world who are charging up and not filling at petrol stations are actually making a difference.
Yeah, I was thinking that, peak oil. Well, you do see the rise. It's true, the rise in EV, and I thought, you know, peak oil was quite a few years off yet. But I mean, like I said, you know, we often see it get corrected on this data. It's like even with GDP, you know, it turns out even, you know, we probably are in recession now. And when you get revised figures and looking back, it'll be out of date. But it's true, you wonder how much effect that has, because, you know, you are seeing, if you look on the roads now, I'd say what one? I don't know how many, but you know, Teslas are everywhere. I see EVs, you know, all over the place, and so it must be having some kind of impact, you know. But saying that, I don't know what the majority is for industrial use, oil, and sort of, you know, personal use, because I assume most oil is used with industrial use and making plastics and you know, all that stuff. So would it have a big impact yet if we're sub sort of 5% EVs in the world? In the world, you know, in the world, would it? I don't know if it would it?
Oh, yes, no, I think it does have a fairly marked impact. See, there are a lot of different products that come off a barrel of oil. So it's not one barrel will produce components for plastics, for diesel, for petrol, for heating oil, for a whole variety of lubricants. So it's not as simple as just saying the demand is there for fuel for vehicles. But no, it is. Fuel is a key driver for the oil price. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, cool. Marvel stuff. Any other chat? Someone says, sodium can easily be removed from seawater, reducing mining costs. It's a fine balance. So what do you mean? Sodium, be aware, sodium is getting popular in batteries now as a cheap option to lithium. Have you heard about that, John? Are you over that?
Yeah, the Chinese are using it. Sodium-ion batteries are becoming increasingly popular over there, but they are heavy, and they do not and they don't give you the range. So I think they'll be for relatively small applications, small vehicles, cheap vehicles, and I'm not convinced we'll be buying them.
Yeah, not yet. It takes a while, doesn't it? Okay. Marvelous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella. Thanks for standing in here and doing it live from Argentina. I've never seen that before,
You're
but
welcome, Justin.
I'm so jealous of the weather out there. It's phenomenal.
Well, we had a huge storm here yesterday, so what you can't see are the puddles
Oh,
in the fields, but the weather's picked up. It's nice.
Are you tempted to get on a horse anytime soon, John?
Not for another couple of months.
Okay. Cheers for that, John.
But we
Thanks for
like a
everyone.
challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and back tomorrow. Don't forget, hit that like subscribe button if you could as well, and share. And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk/app. John, speak next week. Yes?
Will do. Look forward to it. Thanks, Justin.
Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.